Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Then there's another candidate, Elizabeth Warren, who is 1/32nd Cherokee, a fact that has become one of the major issues in recent days in the Massachusetts U.S. Senate race. She's the Democrat running against Republican Scott Brown. And Warren now faces allegations that she used her heritage to get ahead professionally. But she says being part Native American has always been part of her identity.
This is what my brothers and I were told by my mom and my dad, my mama and my papa. This is our lives, and I'm very proud of it. Thank you.
So now we want to hear from you about your relationship to this issue. Forget about Elizabeth Warren for a minute. What part are you? Part what? And do you check that box on applications? How has that small part of your family and your ancestry, and we're talking about those of you who are something like 1/32nd Cherokee, as is the case with Elizabeth Warren, how has it affected your identity if you have that little piece of something that's really different? And if you're white, if you have that little piece of something that's quote-unquote minority, how has that affected your identity? 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. And the other piece of this is, if you are 31/32nd white and 1/32nd Cherokee or black or whatever, would you use it on an application? 212-433-WNYC. If you do check that box, do you think that's what the box is for? And if you don't check the box, then why not? Have you used it professionally or academically? If someone considers themselves part of a minority group and it is part of their ancestry, 1/8, 1/16, 1/32nd, 1/64th, 1/4, when does it become legitimate? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We'll take your calls coming up right after this break. By the way, speaking of forms and speaking of marriage, Elizabeth Warren's great-great-grandmother was the one listed as Cherokee in an 1894 marriage application. That's how a researcher was able to confirm her ancestry. But how about you? If you're one little piece something, how does this affect your identity? And would you use it on an application? Stay tuned. WNYC, and now to your calls on what little piece of something do you have in your ancestry, how it's affected your identity, as it affected Elizabeth Warren's Senate candidate in Massachusetts, and of course the founder of the Financial Consumer Protection Board. Carl in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello. Hey, Carl. Thanks for calling in. Carl, you there? All right, we'll try to get back to Carl. Maybe we can start with Marlene in Brooklyn. Marlene, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
What I wanted to say is, even though I am, by all appearances, and have been all my life, a blonde, blue-eyed American citizen of the United States, my relatives on my mother's side are Calabrese and Sicilian. And I know from looking at them, it's perfectly obvious that there is some Arab and African heritage in the family on that side of the family.
What does it mean to you as a matter of your identity?
You know, I always have embraced every part of my heritage for the simple reason that I have nothing to do with it. I have no control over it. And my relatives, my ancestors are who they are, and I'm proud of all of them. And especially, with immigration to this country, so many groups came together And apparently immigration, you know, even prior to my family's immigration to this country, had a bearing on my ancestry. Also been told that due to my mother's family's last name, mm-hmm. it's highly likely that I have some connection to Sephardic Jewry.
So you've got a lot of difference in your background. What did you put on your census form? I'm curious.
Well, the census form, unfortunately, doesn't really offer me anything that I feel, again, your question was a tiny part of your heritage.
Yeah.
And this is a tiny part, and I don't feel it's enough to check anything other than white Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
However, I work for the City University of New York, which considers Italian Americans an affirmative action group.
Really?
And I was surprised to see that when I filled out my personal paperwork 20 years ago and was very proud to check that box.
Marlene, thank you very much for your call. Maura in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maura.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My grandfather, who is Irish, German, Scots, you know, basic American, New England mix, was adopted into the Ojibwa tribe up in Minnesota and spent a lot of time up on the Fond du Lac reservation up there. And as I was growing up, as my mother was growing up, we were taught to be very proud of that Ojibwa connection. I wouldn't check it on a box because I don't have the actual blood in me, but I think it's a very important heritage, and I actually learned a few words of Ojibwa.
Do you think it affected your perspective on anything political or anything cultural, just that knowledge?
Yes, I do. I think it gave me a sense of seeing people who were talked against, I guess, as being real people, as a minority who I wasn't actually a part of, as actually being a part of it.
Maura, thank you so much. Kate in the Hudson Valley, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kate.
Oh, hi. I am 1/32nd Afro-American. It's something my dad told me when I was a kid. And as I'm getting older, I'm getting more proud of it. My dad was on the Harvard Law Review and in a 1920s class. And so when Obama was running, I kept hearing the same words from Obama that I used to hear from my dad, like qualify your terms and define your premises and things like that, and I thought my little heart went pitty-pat. Now, my dad's granddad had two law degrees, one from Yale and one from Heidelberg, because he was a draft dodger from the Civil War.
Uh-huh.
And it was his granddad who came from Virginia with a 58-year-old father when he was born. And he had credentials about going to, I believe it was Washington and Lee, but they were false. And the family wasn't aware of this until my dad was a young man. And I found out later the county in Kentucky he went to, Muhlenberg County, was famous for harboring free black people.
That's a great story, and to know that that's in your heritage. What about for you as 1/32nd African-American? Would you ever check a box on an application that somehow gave you some kind of affirmative action points?
I may have done that when I was in college, which was in the 50s, just to make a point, even though I wasn't totally aware of it at the time, just to prove that, you know, I am a universal people or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and that was pre-affirmative action. So you wouldn't have gotten an advantage from it, presumably.
It was before the legal affirmative action. But young people were beginning to kick up their heels.
Yes,
and
just as a matter of pride.
Right.
Kate, thank you very much. From our comments page, Jay in Brooklyn writes, I've struggled with that ethnicity question on forms. My mother's parents came up from Mexico. I'm half Mexican-American, but I don't speak three words of Spanish. I grew up as middle-class American kid. I don't look particularly Mexican, so I don't feel like I have the right to check off Hispanic on forms. And he's one half. Shannon in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Shannon.
Hi there. So I grew up always being regaled with family stories about my great-great-great-grandmother. I think that makes me 164th Cherokee. And I always embraced it. I thought it made me part of the American mosaic in a way that just being Irish and Scottish didn't. It also helped balance out some other family stories about slave-owning ancestors that I had. So it almost made me feel like maybe in some sense it canceled out the disturbing part of my heritage.
A little redemption for a part for which you were ashamed?
Yeah, absolutely. Then I did a DNA test a couple years back, and it came back 100% European, and I was devastated.
Could they even measure 164th?
Well, maybe they can't. I don't know.
I don't know how those tests work.
Yeah,
but Shannon, thank you very much. Carl in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carl.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My grandfather was a Blackfoot Indian from Canada, and I had met some other relatives from Canada. One, his brother, was a lumberjack. Now, I relate to it on a rather distant level until I moved to the Pacific Northwest, where there are lots and lots of Indians of various tribes, and a number of whom I used to associate with and hang out with. And their culture really resonated with me. It's a culture within, a completely different culture within this country. And, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but it's a marvel.
And it took, even though you had that, always that one quarter of you in your blood, it took until you were living in more proximity to more folks from that background that you got it.
Yeah, you know, and so many of the things that assumptions that we have in this culture don't fly in that culture. You know, it's like night and day. It's amazing.
Carl, thank you. Anne in Inwood, you're on WNYC. Hello, Anne.
Oh, hi, Brian. I just wanted to say that my grandfather is from the West Indies, and his grandmother was mixed African and Carib Indian. And I'm 66 now, and back as long as I can remember, I have always put mixed or other on any form I had to fill out. It goes back to seeing the signs over fountains during segregation with white and colored, and I hated those signs, and I never wanted to participate in labeling myself full-blooded anything. I figure that a lot of this is a fiction. Most people in this country are mixed in one way or another, and I think that it's perfectly reasonable to put down mixed or other, and that's including I put it on census forms, all college applications, any form that has race on it.
And I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much, and I'm cutting you a little short just so we have time for one more caller before we run out entirely. Alejandro in Manhattan, you're on WNYC, and we've got about a minute for you. Hi.
Hi, Brian. I am half Spaniard and half Zapotec with a little bit of Zoque put in there. That's from the Tehuantepec region of Oaxaca in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I married a woman who of Czech background. When my oldest son was of age, say in 1990, and I was doing the census, I asked him, how should I mark you off? As Indian, as white, or as what? And he said, you can put me down as Chicano. And I said, how about Zapotec? And he said, no, Chicano. And then my younger one in 2000, the same thing. This is independent of anything. My wife said, don't burden him with identity. Let him figure it out.
Why the more general Chicano, do you think? For
I
him.
Guess that's his reality growing up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Very few Zapotecs, and no, I've taken them to Oaxaca twice. But
few Zapotecs, few Zolcays, and so that distinction didn't have much meaning to him, I guess.
It didn't in this context.
Alejandro, thank you very much, and thanks to all of you who called to talk about those little pieces of things in your heritage and whether you would check that on an application. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.